You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Ann Eller. Ann is the author of Dragon in the Sky, Prophecy from the Stars. In her groundbreaking book, she talks candidly from the heart about her working relationship with Dr. J. Allen Hynek, the father of UFO alien research. Through the book and via lectures and tours around the world, Anne shares her extraordinary experiences with alien visitors and her message from the stars. It's an urgent appeal to us all towards higher consciousness and UFO disclosure. She also presents an astonishingly lucid take on the secret government, what it's up to, and their various plans for us. As the book states, we are multidimensional beings on the cusp of leaping into our next evolutionary phase, Homo Luminous. She shares her awareness of the coming Earth changes, a possible pole shift, and the collapse of the old negative and controlling paradigms. Presently, she is traveling around the globe, presenting a vast panorama of information and slides which helps to bring us closer to our destiny. So, let's welcome Anne to the show now. Hi, Anne. How are you?
Well, I'm good, Lance. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you know, when I saw your YouTube video on the internet, I fell in love with you. And when I read your book, I knew I'd made the right choice.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that feedback.
Well, it's a wonderful book, and it resonates so highly because it's just full of spiritual information and a lot of experiences that are out of the box that are very similar to some I've had. And I'm so glad that we didn't get raptured today, or we would have had to play a rerun.
Yes, we're still here, darn it.
Yeah, I know.
I was sort of hoping we'd get raptured and we could just forget the rest of this stuff, but
yeah,
unfortunately, I guess we're here to stay.
We're here until the finish line, until everybody gets it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, for the listeners who aren't familiar with you, maybe you could give a brief account on how you got involved with Dr. Hynek, ufology, and the ETs and the higher dimensionals.
Sure. Well, it started back in about 1976. I started having UFO alien dreams, and I had them practically every night for 4 years. And it made me a little bit crazy. I started reading everything I could get my hands on, talking to anybody who would talk to me, and everything I picked up had one name in it, and that was Dr. J. Allen Hynek. He was the astrophysicist that was hired by the government and the military to debunk all of these UFO sightings that people were reporting. And I thought, well, if anybody on the planet would know what was going on, I didn't know he was supposed to be debunking all this stuff at that point. And I thought he would know, he would have the answers. So I wrote to him and told him just a little bit about what was going on, and I didn't hear anything from him for 9 months. And then all of a sudden, one night, the phone rang, and it was him, and he said, "I've just found your letter behind my desk on the floor." And after I got to know him, that was sort of typical. He was a little bit of an absent-minded professor and didn't keep a very neat office. So he wanted to know about the dreams, and I told him a little bit about them, and he asked me to send him a log, which I did, and I asked for his impression. He wanted the log to send off to a colleague of his in Sweden or Switzerland, I can't remember now, who was doing a research project on these dreams because people were having them all over the world. and they were trying to get to the bottom of this. You know, they were trying to find out what the aliens were doing with the subconscious mind. Mm-hmm. So then I never heard another word from him. And 5 years later, now this is 1985, I came home. I'm a nurse, and was working nights at the hospital. And I came home early one morning and opened up the Arizona Republic, and on headlines on the second page was Dr. J. Allen Hynek brings UFO research to Scottsdale, Arizona. Well, I couldn't believe it because it was almost in my backyard. It was literally about 5 minutes from where I lived. Mm. So I knew I had to be involved. And I went over one day, and he wasn't there, and the two people that he worked with weren't there, but there were other people just milling around that had come from other states just to meet him and tell him about their experiences. So I left a note on the desk and said I had to be involved. I didn't care whether I took out the garbage or fed the cat or what, but I just had to be involved. So I would volunteer my time for whatever they needed. And so Brian called then a couple days later and said, sure, come on over. So I set up the office there, which was the main research area where people would come in and where they would call in and leave the reports of sightings, et cetera. And then it was about 2 or 3 weeks later before I met Dr. Hynek. He was having his office over in his home, which was about a couple of miles further from there. And I met him, and I guess it was probably about a week later, he called and asked me if I'd be willing to go to work for him full-time and set up his office. And he said, I can't pay you much. I can only pay you $100 a week. Well, you know, money's always a problem, but
right.
I figured it was just a one chance in a lifetime. So I jumped at it and quit my job at the hospital. I was renting my condo from my mother, so she agreed to give me free rent for 6 months. So I was able to do it, and what an experience it was. It's just, it'll probably take about a week to tell you everything that transpired, if I could remember it.
Right. Well, I imagine that was quite a tornado of activity as things continued to heat up about the ETs. What was your first major validation and revelation that you felt really told you that these things were real and that there were other realities penetrating our own?
Well, before I went to work for him, while I was having these dreams, it really became a reality for me. I was experiencing so many things in the dreams that were so real, and I would wake up in the middle of the night, and the place would be lit up. There would just be this bright light in the room, and then it would just instantly go off. And then I'd hear a swishing outside. So I eventually knew that I was being picked up and I was being given these experiences. It was just terrific. And the dreams were about all different kinds of craft and aliens, different cultures, different dimensions, hidden bases. In one of the dreams, there were two alien doctors that had opened my skull. And they were doing this operation for the purpose of changing my tapes. And they were very, very surprised when they got in and found out that my tapes were permanent and couldn't be changed. So obviously I had some kind of a destiny to live through. I had some kind of a, and I believe have a mission, and I believe that this is the mission. It's kind of interesting because under hypnosis, I went to a past life where Dr. Hynek and I were doing the same thing. You know, we really do repeat history. He was an astronomer. I was his assistant. He had a telescope. He could see spacecraft, and he showed them to me, but he made me promise I wouldn't speak to anybody about it. And he never spoke to anyone about it, so it was just this secret. And the same thing was happening in this life. So now I'm just blabbing as much as I can. I'm getting it all out there. I want to tell everybody everything I know or think I know.
Wonderful. Well, that's why you're on the show tonight, because I agree with you. I think this wall of secrecy and silence and disinformation and lies and cover-ups and so on and so forth by the shadow or secret government has to come to an end. In fact, you write in detail about that and what their plans for us are, and there have been various ET government agreements. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure, yeah. Well, I think the biggest agreement is the one with President Dwight Eisenhower. When he met with two groups of aliens, and this was back in 1954, and the first group were the Nordics. They were the really tall, good-looking, blonde aliens, very spiritual, and he met with them at the Muroc Test Center, and that now is Edwards Air Force Base. They told him that they would help us with our spiritual development. Mm-hmm. And they refused to share their technology with us because they said we weren't mature enough to use it for the benefit of mankind, and they got that right. They demanded that we dismantle our nuclear weapons, and they stated that we were on a path of self-destruction. Excuse me. Well, Eisenhower, you know, was a military strategist. And he didn't think that was much of a bargain. So he said, no, thank you. And he then met with the second group in the same year, 1954, Grays from Zeta Reticuli, and he met with them at Holloman Air Force Base. He entered into a treaty with them, and the treaty basically said that they would agree to share their technology with us. If they kept the alien presence on Earth a secret. So right there we have the beginning of the cover-up. And we agreed to let them pick up humans, you might say abduct, but I think that's a little strong. I these are experiencers. These aren't abductions, as far as I'm concerned. And for the purpose of medical exams, monitoring, and their hybrid breeding program, they had a program. They were given permission by the higher council to do this, because what they were trying to do was breed out our warlike tendencies. Now, don't you think that's a good idea?
Well, absolutely, unless you end up tampering with the emotional body and end up without the ability to feel.
Yes, I agree with you. But what they were able to do was breed out blind rage, which was great. And the other thing was intestinal gas. I thought that was pretty great. But these beings have greater intelligence. They're much more sensitive. They have a longer lifespan and much less illness. They're going to live a lot longer than we do, and I think they're going to be a lot happier in their lives. But at any rate, he agreed, and there was to be no harm to come to anyone, and they were to wipe our memories clean. We weren't supposed to remember any of this. Uh-huh. And then on a periodic basis, they were supposed to furnish MJ-12, which was that secret government, the secret staff or the secret committee. They were to furnish them with the names of all of the contacts on a regular basis. Now, you know, we were wondering, how did the military know who was being picked up? Well, here it is right here. They were being given a list every so often. And so, the men in black and the black helicopters and on and on and on could find these people and could check on them. So our president, now we have President Eisenhower to thank for that, but he was operating under orders, because it's always been the secret government, the hidden government that's running the show. And this consists of about 13 very wealthy families. A lot of the royalty from Europe, you know, like the Rothschilds, and I can't remember all the names, but...
Rockefellers and...
yeah, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and, you know, the British crown.
Bilderbergs, et cetera.
The Bilderbergs, yes. Those are the people that actually run the show. There's really a puppet master, and he lives over in Europe, and he's the one that gives the orders. And there also, there is some contact with an alien race off Earth who are probably giving him orders. So, you know, this thing is, just goes on. It's just deeper and deeper and deeper. But anyway, that that treaty gave us 60 years of secrecy and collusion with the aliens. It gave us Pine Gap in Australia, Area 51 in Nevada, and a lot of underground and under the ocean secret bases. So that's part of this, the secret government. These do you want me to talk a little bit more about MJ-12 or?
Yes, go ahead, because these are things that people wonder about. I wonder about. And I keep hearing information from guests and on the internet that there are bases that we have coinciding with other ET civilizations on Mars, the moon, the various planets, and so on. So, yeah.
Well, this was a group of very highly placed, top secret individuals that had to do with the security of our government. I'm looking right now. I'm trying to find the list that I had of their names, and of course I can't find it right now. But they were generals and admirals, and they one was the director of the astronomy department at Harvard, and this was the caliber of them. And it was President Truman who ordered this committee. And the basis of it was to find out, because this was right after the crash of Roswell, where we got an alien craft and got alien bodies. So he wanted to find out just what was the agenda here. What did the aliens want? And they did have one that lived for quite a long time. In fact, he was eventually sent home to his planet. So they got a lot of information. But they didn't trust them at all. So this is what MJ-12 was all about. Go ahead.
Well, since I want to hear what you're going to say next, but since then, it kind of morphed into the highest levels of the corporate military structure, didn't it? And it got completely taken out of the hands of the, if it ever was in the hands of the president. It's so far removed from the clearance of our military that they can't get access to that information.
That's correct. I've even heard that there are 27 levels of top secret above the president of the United States. So they didn't know it. They didn't know a lot, and it was Kennedy who requested the UFO files. And it was something like 2 weeks later he was assassinated. It has been rumored for many, many years that he knew about the aliens and he knew about the craft and that he was going to tell the American people. He was going to make an announcement. But the secret government wasn't going to have that, so they arranged his assassination.
Well, that's pretty common, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, if you get in the way, they'll just do away with you. And the other thing I wanted to mention was Ben Rich was the CEO of Lockheed and Lockheed Skunk Works. And this was one of the outfits that had a lot of the black ops projects. Now, these projects were funded by drug money, funded from raping so many of the accounts in our government. That's why we're in such trouble now. I mean, they just took all the money they needed. They had very deep pockets. They got the top scientists from around the world. They went underground, and they started making a lot of stuff. And before Ben Rich died, I guess it was a deathbed thing, he said, "We already have the means to travel among the stars. The U.S. aerospace community, military-industrial complex has done anything you can imagine. We already know how to do it." Wow. He said, we can take E.T. home, and let's see. He said there are two types of UFOs, the ones we build, meaning the humans, the Americans, and the ones that they build, meaning the aliens. And let me just mention here that our spacecraft that looks very much like, you know, UFOs are basically triangular in shape. So if you come across a triangular ship, it may not be alien. It may be from our own government. And we have other cultures and societies living in the inner Earth. They have UFOs. Russia has UFOs. It was right after the Second World War when Germany was already building UFOs.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So a lot of what we see is actually coming from the Earth, but there very absolutely definitely is a very large alien contingent or ET contingent that are here now, and a lot of them have been here for a long, long time. We have over 1,000 cultures, ET cultures, that are circling the Earth right now in their spacecraft. And they're here because, I think, they're here because They want to see the fireworks. I mean, this is a really big show that Earth is putting on at this point in time. There are so many things that are happening, so many cycles that are all coming to an end at the same time now. And at the same time, man is going through a spiritual transformation, and our bodies are literally being lifted. Our consciousness is being lifted. The carbon-based cells that we have in our body are being changed to crystalline base so that our bodies can vibrate at a higher rate into the fourth dimension and then the fifth dimension. And we're learning that, you know, this transformation is an expanded spiritual being, and the more our consciousness expands, the more spiritual we become. And we're learning that we're not alone in the universe, and this is a very big evolutionary jump for us. We're going to be learning how to coexist with our galactic neighbors, and it's not just us. I mean, the whole galaxy is moving into a different section of the universe. So we're going through that, and then at the same time, Planet X has decided to come back. And that's every 3,654 years. And we happen to be living right now in that time. And what does that mean for us? Well, every time it comes by, planet Earth really gets a real big shaking up. And it came by with Moses. It came by with Noah and the Ark. And when Moses led the Jews out of Egypt, at that time, parting of the Red Sea and the locusts and all that, and the water turning red. That red, that brackish water, is the iron oxide from the tail of Planet X. And we will literally be peppered with that closer it gets. And each time it comes by, it has a different degree of severity depending upon where we are in our orbit as it comes close to us. But this time, This time the Zetas are telling us that it's going to be a particularly difficult one, that it's going to be quite close, 14 million miles it will pass us. And 14 million miles may sound like a lot, but when you're talking about these huge planets, it's
with
not
a trail of debris following in a tail, right?
Yes, yes,
like
that
like a whip. Yeah,
that tail has moons, gravel, boulders, asteroids, dust, has all kinds of things in it, and it's red from the iron oxide, and so everything will be covered with this red dust, and it's flipping this tail back and forth and back and forth, and it will actually come 5 million miles closer to the Earth than the planet comes. It swings very wide of the planet. So this planet is called Planet X. It's called Nibiru. It's called the Destroyer, the Red Star, Wormwood from the Bible, the Dragon. And this was the dragon that I was shown flipping its tail in the sky. When I had my experience in Laramie, Wyoming with the ETs, they showed me five symbols, and that was the first symbol they showed me. So this planet is four times the diameter of the Earth, and it's about 23 times the mass of the Earth. So this is a big dude coming into the neighborhood. And
you're
with this electromagnetic pull and push that we're going through, it's going to be Earth that's going to get the short end of the stick.
What about the rumors and Sitchin's work that explains that the Anunnaki live within that planet and that they have actually colonized Earth, and that they're kind of a negative presence in, that's behind all of these secret developments?
Well, a lot of what he wrote was very true. The Anunnaki do inhabit this planet. There are about four different species on the planet. But the Anunnaki have been coming for a very long time, and they came to Earth, something like 300,000, 400,000 years ago. They were mining for gold. And they decided it was too difficult. The work was too difficult. They were tinkering around with genetics at that point, probably somewhat like we're tinkering around with it now. Sitchin felt through his research that they had created Homo sapiens at that time to be a slave race. But Nancy Leader of Zeta Talk is saying, no, this is not correct. They didn't develop Homo sapiens. So we're not sure what happened. We're not sure quite where we came from. But Sitchin was sure that was what had happened. But they're not going to be permitted to come to the Earth this time. They're being quarantined because of our spiritual ascension that we're going through at the present time. So that's one thing we don't have to worry about.
Go ahead.
As it gets closer, you're seeing earthquakes, you're seeing volcanic eruptions. Every day this is happening, and it's a lot of our press is not reporting a great percentage of what's happening around the world. We have Indonesia is sinking, Malaysia is sinking, Sumatra, Java, New Guinea, Thailand, Philippines, Vietnam, Pakistan, and India. They're all in the process of sinking. And the South But you're hearing anything about that?
No.
And this has been going on for several months already.
Wow.
So unless you're on the internet and unless you have somebody that's reporting to you from these countries what's happening, we won't hear about it here. And one guy even said, that when the new Madrid fault goes here in America, we probably won't even know about it unless we're in that territory.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So that's another thing that we've learned from the Zetas, is where we are, how close Planet X is, and where we are in the progression of things. And if it was a continuum of 1 to 10, and the pole shift is 10, we are at a 7. We're in the 7 right now.
Wow.
What's going to happen very shortly is that South America is going to move about 250 miles to the west, the top part of South America. And that's going to take a lot of the Caribbean islands down with it, and Central America is going to be pretty well bashed up because of that. While the rest of these countries that I just mentioned are going to continue to sink, and pretty much Japan, all of Japan, is going under. When big ones start happening, earthquakes in Japan in the southern part, not Fukushima, but the southern part, the next thing in that sequence is the new Madrid fault. And that's, of course, up the Mississippi River. It's going to take, it's going to take in Missouri and Arkansas and Illinois and all of those states there, and it's going to literally be flooded. Well, they're flooded now, but this is going to be a huge earthquake, and it's going to split the country almost in half, and the Mississippi River then is going to be a good 100 miles wider than it is currently. And it's going to go all the way up to the St. Lawrence Seaway, and the Great Lakes are involved. A lot of the Great Lakes are going to be draining into this huge split in the earth. So if people are around Chicago, they need to be thinking about getting out of there. St. Louis needs to get out of there, because that's going to be nothing but water. And that's going to be the first thing that happens in the United States. And then, as soon as that happens, there's going to be a dropping of the Atlantic floor, and a huge tsunami is going to hit Europe. And when it hits Britain, it's going to be about 300 feet high. When it gets to France, it'll be about 200 feet high and on into Europe. So they've been warning people in Europe to get to high ground.
The royalty and all of the people that are on the inside know this, right? Are they going to underground bunkers and
something
built faster than you can flip a pancake?
they've been building them for years, preparing for this. They've known about this. They saw Planet X in 1983. With the IRIS, that was the satellite, the infrared astronomical satellite. Yeah, and they saw it in 1983, so they knew it was inbound. They knew it was real. They've known about it before that because the aliens told them about it. So they've been very busy building these humongous underground places where the elite are planning to go, and they've used our money and our tax money, and they have furnished those, and they've stocked them with food and medicine, and they're very heavily guarded, and we're not invited.
Well, that doesn't sound like a very positive set of people that I'd want to hang out with.
You don't want to be around the Denver area, because a lot of them will be underground in Denver. And if you're around there, they'll use you as a slave.
Wow, that's the mysterious Denver Airport underground base, isn't it, where they're...
Yes, correct.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Jay Widener talks about that a lot, and of course, it's kind of common knowledge on the net. Now, this is happening to all of us, So I guess they're kind of expecting that we're just going to get washed away and die and the rest of it.
Yeah, it's just going to be up to us to survive if we want to and if we've planned. But the thing of it is, they're not giving us any warning up ahead, up front, so that we can plan. So it's up to us who have found out about this to spread the word. And there are safe places, and people will survive. I think it was the Hopi. The Hopi have said that they expect about 75%, three-quarters of the population, to go into spirit during this. The Zetas are saying probably more like 90%. But
well, that would make sense that, you know, if this is truly is a shift into higher frequencies, then this three-dimensional world that we're sharing with so many different levels of being, we really wouldn't have to be too terribly concerned because, A, if the body dies, we know that we're spirit and we are infinite consciousness.
And absolutely.
If we're raising our frequency, then we'll be reunited with the other elements of the light families. I would think that would be a reunion of sorts.
I think, absolutely. And I do want to stress that there is no death. So we would just be translated into a higher vibration, a higher dimension. Did you remember the movie Cocoon?
Yes. And the one
and
knowing.
And those ETs, were from the Antares. And remember when they unzipped their human body and they were just light on the inside, but they still had the shape? That is so much like how it really is. And that's what we'll be doing. We'll be stepping into our higher body, our light body, our spiritual body. So it's going to be very exciting. But if you want to stay in the physical, and if you want to start from scratch, because it's going to be tremendous upheaval. North is going to be where West is now, and the South Pole is going to be where India is. The North Pole is going to be where Brazil is. So in order for that to happen, this planet is going to have to be doing a lot of rocking and rolling, and that's what we're headed into now. We're in a pretty severe wobble right at the present time. I don't know if you've noticed it, but have you been watching the sun or the moon?
Probably not as closely as I should because of the chemtrails.
and that's one reason for the chemtrails, so we can't see what's going on.
Yeah.
But they're coming up in all different places, in great degrees different from one night to the next. So start watching. It's very interesting. And that's showing us how much the planet is bobbling back and forth. It's literally being hosed by the North Pole of Planet X as it's coming toward us. So
is Comet Elenin that they're talking about? Is that a potential?
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. This is something. Now, don't believe a word NASA tells you about anything. NASA does nothing but lie, and they've been lying about everything. And they're right now. They're having a hard time keeping Planet X covered up because it's showing up on everything now. So that now they want you to look for something else. Look now for this comet, Elenin, that is nothing more than a small comet. It's not even worth the time of day. But they want you to be focused on something else. They want you to be looking in another area of the sky, thinking about different dates, so that when that comes and goes and nothing happens, you'll think, oh, well, you know, I have nothing to worry about now. That's what they were talking about all these years and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And here's this elephant in the room that's staring us right in the face.
Right.
So it's all been lies, and don't believe anything NASA puts out.
I've heard they stand for never a straight answer. I think Richard Hoagland said that.
Yes, I think that's very, very true.
Yeah. So go on. You said you wanted to...
Well, I want to talk a little bit about preparation for this, because the time is getting very short, and people really need to be considering how they're going to do this, how they're going to either ride it out or what plans they want to make. And I think the most important preparations are spiritual. I think that the first thing we need to do is seek our own inner spiritual guidance, however way you believe or however way you think about that. That is going to be the most important thing. Make peace with your own God. Get quiet and get centered, because all of us have spiritual guides and angels surrounding us, and they are pledged to see us through this. You know, we're really being rock stars down here because we're here, and everybody wants to see what's going to happen and how are we going to handle it. So we have a lot of help. We really do. And they're going to be giving us, information, and they're going to be giving it in the way of an urging or an intuition, your gut level feeling. So if you get quiet and if you feel like you should move, if you feel like you should quit your job, if you feel like you should stock up on things, then do it, because they're telling you that that's what you need to do. And at least now you know what's coming, so you can use this time to tell your loved ones how much you love them. And to ask for forgiveness if you need to do that, and also to forgive if it's necessary. So time is very short, and some of the survival basics are to stock up on food and water and medical supplies. You want to locate out of the cities, because they're just going to become death traps. If you're near the ocean or large bodies of water, you want to move 100 miles inland or away from that. You also want to be a good number of miles away from the volcanoes, because they're telling us that every volcano that's gone off in the last, the last 10,000 years is going to go off when the pole shifts.
Right.
So you want to be, upwind, or let's see, you want to be opposite of the way the wind is blowing. So is that upwind or downwind?
I don't know.
You don't want that ash blowing in your yard anyway. You want to get as far away from that as you can. And you want to go to a higher elevation if possible, because after the pole shift, the oceans and the water level is going to be about 675 feet higher than it is now.
Okay.
So let's... And just plan for a camper's life, you know. Having a tent is good. Having ways to distill your water is going to be extremely important. So,
well, now, a question for you. Do you have, do the Zetas or any of your contacts give you any intimations as to the timing of all this? Is 2012 a kind of a nexus point, or a point where the...
Yeah, that's a pretty good measuring point. I think when they saw that so far back, 2012, they've come very close. It's possible this could happen before.
Okay.
So that's why I want people to get busy preparing now. Because once these things really get going, and they're in the process now, and at some point they're going to speed up, then it's not going to be long before the planet it's here now. We're taking pictures of it. Pictures are coming in from all over the world, and if you can get a good spot, a high elevation at sunrise and at sunset, start watching with filters, because the sun is so bright. The reason it's so bright is because it's reflecting off another planet also, Planet X.
Huh.
So you've got two suns. You've got two suns coming up and two suns going down. During the course of the day, it's pretty much lost in the glare. of the sun. Okay. And and you're looking for it at the 4 to 5 o'clock position on the sun, disk sun. It's in front of the sun and off to the lower right.
Okay.
Okay. If you're in the southern hemisphere, it'll be between 10 and 11 o'clock. So it would be to the left upper side of the disk, the sun's disk.
No, but, it brings up so many questions because if this whole sector and our whole solar system and the surrounding spiral galaxy is lifting up into, you know, if it's shifting into another higher level, then does that infer that there will be many different levels occurring at the same time? In other words, while all this is going on in 3D, there is a shifting into 4D and 5D?
Yes, absolutely. A lot is going on at the same time. And, you know, it's kind of interesting when you think that if 60% of the population of the planet had become more spiritual, had become more service to other rather than service to self, we could have taken this whole thing into the fourth dimension before Planet X arrived, and then it would have passed in the third dimension, and we would be in the fourth dimension. But that has not happened. There haven't been that many people. So we got to get busy.
Well, no kidding. It seems like a part of the difficulty is that we're in a timeline which has been kept ignorant and lied to, and in which there is nothing but secrecy and a second civilization basically rising from our ashes. And so we're being dumbed down by the television set and, distracted by movie stars and the trivial. So it seems like it's almost going to take a major shock to shock us out of our stupor.
Yes, and we're going to get it. We're really going to get it.
You're going to get to the moon.
And don't expect your fire department or your paramedics to come and help you. They're going to be so overwhelmed with what's going on. You have to count on yourself. So just start taking care of yourself. Start stocking up and getting prepared. And prepare your loved ones. You know, it's going to be as important to be with the people that you trust as it is to be in a safe location. The people you love and trust, you know, pick the people you want to survive with very carefully.
Right.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of people are kind of intuitively gravitating in that direction and forming small communities and joining up to do the organic food thing and really being loving and supporting. So I do see that happening.
And it's going to be more and more. And you can go online to Earth Changes Pole Shift Ning. That is a great website for getting all the latest on what's happening all over the world. And a lot of these people are forming survival groups that have met on this website all over the world. They're getting busy over in Europe. They're becoming quite active over there.
See, we don't hear about any of this stuff because we can't get the information on the internet, and we're kept even the underground channels on the net are not coming up with the information from other places. So it's very difficult to keep informed, other than going within, as you said, and following your guides and your angels and your your team.
Yeah. Do not trust the government at all. Do not trust the president. Okay.
Right.
You cannot trust our government, and you can't trust NASA. You just can't trust any of them. So set yourself up. Take the responsibility for your own life.
I totally agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
We're approaching the final stretch of the show, and there's so much I want to talk to you about, and you had some amazing experiences with the Sisterhood of Light. And I also want you to talk about where you're going to be going on tour. So, and however you want to begin to share what you'd like to share with us tonight.
When I usually tell the story about my spiritual experience with the aliens in Wyoming in 1985, it takes about 30 minutes, so I'm going to cut it real short. I had a wonderful time at a UFO conference in Laramie, Wyoming, and had many things happen to me. I was struck with a beam of light and had a very severe kundalini-type experience at that time. And that night, the same time that this happened, I had a whole room full of female alien beings that appeared to me over the body of this woman that I was with. I didn't know it at the time that she had the capability of being a medium. So this was quite a shock to me and quite a shock to her also. But these were very loving beings. They looked ET-ish to a certain degree, but they also looked humanoid. And they had round eyes. The eyes were about 3 times bigger than ours. And the love and the empathy just poured forth from those eyes. They each had an ornament of some kind on their head. They were very regal in their presentation. They told me that I had undergone an initiation and that I had been given higher powers or greater powers and would now be receiving direct communication. I asked them if they would stay with me, and they said they had always been with me. And it was at that time I asked if the mission was on target and if it would be completed, and they said yes. I didn't know what the mission was. It just seemed like the right question to ask. This is the mission. It's just getting the word out to as many people as we possibly can so that people have a chance to survive if they want to. And I wanted to just mention that up in the eastern part of Montana, North and South Dakota, this is a good area, and also from there up into Canada. That seems to be a very solid area for what we're going to go through. I'm in Arizona, and about at least a third of Arizona is going to be underwater. Florida's going to be gone. It'll be underwater. California's going to be gone. The East Coast, up to probably 100 miles, will be underwater. New York City is at the bottom of the ocean. This is going to happen, and I just want people to know how serious this is. But they can survive if they start planning now. The other thing I was going to say is I'm going on a book and speaking tour in September, and I'll be going to Slovenia and Croatia and Serbia. I find very, very interesting. They're such beautiful people in that area of the world. And they're just extremely interested in the topic. And so I'm also looking for other European venues while I'm there. So if anybody is listening and they are interested in having me speak, France, Germany, Italy, anywhere over there, go to my website. It's www.annanneller.com, and just send me a little note through the contact section of it. And while you're there, take a look at the video that's up on the homepage. That's got all the information on it that you've heard tonight, plus more. It's about an hour and 45 minutes. And the other website to go to is zetatalk.com. That's ZETATALK.com. This is a website that I have been following for the last 8 years. It's the most accurate information that we're getting anywhere. I will say it's not 100%. It's my experience. It's not 100%, but it's pretty darn close. I mean, it's up there. So just take a look at all these websites, and there's a lot more information out there.
Well, that is it has been a wonderful journey tonight, and you're validating everything that my guests have all said in various and sundry ways, and I love what you're doing, and I can't thank you enough for being on the show. I'd like to invite you back, but I don't know if we'll be here still.
Yeah, things are getting a little dicey.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't sure we'd be here tonight with a rabbit coming, but I guess we're not included in that party.
Right, right. Well, if we're still here in a few weeks or so and you want to have me come back, well, I'd be more than happy to do it. And thank you so much for inviting me this time.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. And, you know, I like I said, I loved your book. It was a wonderful read, and it's very moving, and the pictures are terrific. You know, your picture with President Clinton and your friends Connie and...
Connie and Doug, yeah.
Yeah, they
were the
like
ones...
really nice people.
Oh, they were, and I can't find them anywhere. So if anybody knows where Doug and Connie Tipton are, please tell them I'm looking for them. I just have not been able to get in touch with them. But there was a company over in London that wanted to do a documentary, and they were trying to find them too, but we haven't been successful.
Well, we'll have
thank you
back, if possible, and pick up. I encourage people to get your book, Dragon in the Sky, Prophecy from the Stars. And you do talk about some of the little tidbits you found in Dr. Hynek's office that were not supposed to be seen. So we'll just keep that a little secret and let people do some digging.
All right.
Thank you
Sounds
so much,
good.
And
thank you.
Good luck on your trip to Serbia and Croatia, and stay in touch with me, will you?
I sure will.
All right. Thanks again, and good night, everybody.
Good night.